Thank you for listening to the Breakthrough Podcast. We hope you are encouraged by the message. Be sure to stick around for more at the end.
If you'll notice at the screen up there, talking about wisdom from above, finding the path to true wisdom. Well, if you recall, in the first week of this series on James, we talked about wisdom, and we kind of went through it, and tonight James is going to get back onto wisdom. He's going to show us two different kinds of wisdom, one being the wisdom from above, and the other one being a demonic, a earthly wisdom that we can get caught up in thinking that we're wise. So let's read our text, and we're going to dive right into the Word together. James chapter 3, we'll start at verse 13, and we're going to go to verse 18. Who is wise and understands among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and a selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So before we go any further into tonight's message, we have to first, what is wisdom? We have to break down what wisdom is. And first of all, we get to know that wisdom is not knowledge. You can't compare the two, because we all know people that are really smart that there's people that are really, really smart, like super genius people, but yet you wouldn't let them babysit your little brother or your dog because they're just not, they don't have the common sense to. Or the people, they probably could make a nuclear bomb out of household appliances, but they can't figure out how to work a toaster. So knowledge and wisdom aren't the same thing. And just to give you an example of this, I graduated with a girl that had like a 3.9 GPA. She graduated like top five of our class. Really smart girl. I'm not going to say her name in case she listens to this. But really smart girl. And we went to college, and she met a guy, and they were head over heels. They loved each other. And it was after our freshman year of college. We just finished our freshman year. They talked about wanting to get married. Okay. Well, they talked about their parents, and their parents were against it. They said, no, you're not ready for that. You don't need to do that. So several weeks passed, and he comes up to me. I played baseball with him at East Central. He came up to me and said, hey, man, so-and-so is pregnant. And I said, oh, man, that sucks. That's my first reaction. I'm like, what are you going to do? He said, no, man, we planned it. This way we have to get married. Our parents have to let us get married. It was all her idea. So, yeah, we planned this, and we're going to have a baby, and we're going to get married now. Girl was very smart, made good grades. That's not the wisest decision she's ever made. So knowledge and wisdom do not connect. They're not the same thing. So what is wisdom? What is, what's this thing called wisdom? And the first week I gave you a definition. I'm going to give you the same one. Wisdom is the ability to understand a given situation and navigate that situation well. Wisdom is the ability to understand your situation that you're going through and then navigate through it. Therefore, if you don't know how to understand your situation and you don't know how to navigate through it, therefore, you don't have wisdom. It's very simple. How many of you ever seen the movie The Wizard of Oz, the original? There's some of you who haven't seen The Wizard of Oz. That's just sad. Okay, The Wizard of Oz, just to give you some background in case you haven't seen it or you haven't watched it since you were like three. A twister comes through and Dorothy wakes up and she finds herself in a place where she doesn't know where she's at. She's in a situation she doesn't understand. There's little bitty munchkins running around everywhere and she's just confused on what's going on. She doesn't know what's happening. She doesn't have any wisdom about the situation. She doesn't know. So she begins to ask these little dudes running around the Lollipop Guild. And she's like, where am I? And they're telling her, and she says, well, how do I get back home? This isn't Kansas. How do I get back to Kansas? How do I do it? And they're like, I don't know. Well, we're just here. We're just running around dancing and singing and stuff. We don't know. And she said, well, how can I find out? And they say, listen, follow the yellow brick road to Oz. Oz is all-knowing. He's the wizard. He'll tell you how to get back to your situation. And a lot of us can find ourselves in Dorothy's shoes because we find ourselves in situations we don't understand and we don't get. And we're all looking for wisdom. We're all looking, you know, for Oz. We're looking for because Oz symbolized wisdom in that movie, in that story. And so you know the story. She takes off on the yellow brick road, you know, meeting friends, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. She gets to doing all that, and, you know, there's a witch along the way that wants to trip her up and stumble her up, and she's throwing, like flying monkeys at her and stuff like that and crazy stuff. And some of you, Satan's throwing flying monkeys right at you, but you're still going down the path. But the thing of it is, we don't know sometimes whether we're going down the right path, the path of the wisdom from above, or if we're headed down this other road that we think is wise, but in turn, it's not. It's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. Even. So the question we have to ask ourselves is what characterizes wisdom from above, and where does that path begin? Where does that path toward wisdom begin? Or am I on that path? That's maybe something you ask yourself tonight. So this group of people that James was addressing, they were not seeking wisdom. They were not looking for the spiritual wisdom. Because why? Because they were a bunch of know-it-alls. They thought they knew everything. They were stabbing their friends in the back. They were going to services and listening to teaching, and they were saying, oh, I can teach it a lot better than that. He didn't know what he's talking about. And they were stabbing each other in the back, and they were doing malicious things, and they thought they knew everything. They thought they knew it all. And you know, James is going to call their bluff in verse 13 right there. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? By good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And James is saying this the way it's written in the original language. James is saying this like a smart aleck. He's like basically like he would be up here and he would say, which one of you guys is a smart one? Come on, smart guys. Which one of you is a wise guy? And he's saying it with anticipation of them maybe saying, me? I am. I'm the wise one. Because they all were thinking that they were wise. And he says, okay, you're wise. Okay, all right. Who remembers the song, If You're Happy and You Know It, from when you're a kid? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. What James is saying here is, okay, all right, you're wise. Okay, I'll give you the benefit of that. You're wise. Well, if you're wise and you know it, then your works will surely show it. You're not going to go running your mouth behind everybody's back. You're not going to go stab your friends in the back. You're not going to be thinking you know it all. If you're wise and you know it, then your works are going to show it. And how does it show it? He says, in meekness of wisdom. And what that is just meekness is humility. Wisdom shows itself in humility. That's the first thing it shows itself as. Look at the Proverbs, the Old Testament. The Proverbs always say that the wise person is the person who realizes they don't know everything. The wise person is the one that realizes they don't know everything. And wisdom literature also tells us that the foolish person is the one that thinks he knows it all. So, with that being said, if you think you're a fool, you're probably headed down the right path. However, if you think you know it all, you think you're real wise, there's a good chance you're fooling yourself. So let's continue on with that. The fool is always quick to speak, and they think that they have all the answers. So, you know, the Bible's not the only thing that backs this up, this wisdom thing. Like the Bible's not the only book that backs this up about humility. There's a book called, hold on a second, Deep Survival. There's a book called Deep Survival. In this book, it's a guy that's went around to all these people that survived, like, car crashes and plane crashes and like being stranded at sea, being lost on an island somewhere, or being stuck in the wilderness for like weeks and weeks and weeks. He interviews these people and he asks them how they survived. They're like, well, what did you do to survive? And unanimously, they all agreed that the number one factor in survival is humility. To be able to say, okay, I don't know my surroundings, I don't know my situation, I don't know what I'm going through. And to realize that they don't have all the answers. They don't know what's right. He also has a story in there about a paraglider. And this paraglider apparently went out and was, I don't know what paragliding is. You jump off something and like you're like soaring. Anyway. Paragliding. He went out paragliding and he was having a good day. And he was doing like one of the best days he's ever had paragliding. And he was like all cocky when he got back down to the ground. Talking about how, look, all he's doing. All this. And he was talking to all his friends about it. Well, the next day, something went wrong with his paraglide, and he started to descend very rapidly. And when you paraglide, you wear a parachute. In case something like that happens, you bail out. But he, because of this good day he had before, he thought, he said, I got this. I'm not worried about it. I got it all under control. It's all good. Well, he crashes and dies. Him thinking that he had it all figured out, that he was too good, that him thinking that just because he had a good day led him straight to his death. And so many times in our walks, in our way of life, we get so going through the motions. We think we have a good day, and we get cocky, we get arrogant, we get proud, and we're leading ourselves right to destruction because we think we know it all. And reality is, we really, really don't. The Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom begins when we realize it's not all about us. It's not about me. There's something bigger out there. Proverbs 3 says, it was by wisdom the foundations of the earth was laid. So, think about this, guys. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before creation, all in wisdom, the triune God, all in wisdom, laid the foundations of the earth. They caused the water cycle to happen. Think about the way nature works, guys. Caused the water cycle to happen. Have all the chain, the food chain, how it works, how all the microorganisms work together to do this for this creature and this creature. And it all works. It all works in a specific rhythm. There's rhythm. There's order. It's no doubt that a wise deity created all of this, because there's no doubt that it happened, because there's no other way it could happen. Some people say, oh, it's a big explosion, big bang. When have you ever seen an explosion cause order? When have you ever seen an explosion cause rhythm and made sense? No, after an explosion, everything's everywhere. It's chaos. But our world that is created by our wise Father goes in rhythm, has order to it. It makes sense. It all flows together. And as we look at that, we look at our lives. We look at our lives and realize that God blessed me with a gift. God gave me the ability to speak in front of young people. He didn't give that ability to everybody. So I take it with a lot of respect that he would allow me to do this each and every week. God gives some of you gifts to get up on the stage and sing, play instruments. Some of you, he's blessed you on the athletic field where you can get out there and you can just show off your talent. Some of us, getting out on the athletic field means shame. So some of us, that's not our thing. Some of you, he's made artistic, they can draw things and they can create things, and you have an awesome mind, and maybe you can like design like websites and do like all kind of different computer stuff that I can't do. My point is, he gave each and every one of you a talent, and notice each and every one of your talents are different, yet they all work together for the kingdom of God. So why, in wisdom, you realize it's not all about me, that God gave me this talent, and he's working everybody together. And that leads us to our next little point here, to where he says in verse 14 through 16, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. So God's given us these gifts, and a lot of times what do? We get jealous of the other person's gift. We say, why in the heck can't I play guitar and sing? That ain't fair. All he let me do is be able to throw a football 60 yards. Big whoop. How's that glorifying to God? I want to be a leader. I want to be able to get up on stage and speak and influence people. Why can't he give me that talent? So what we start doing is we start being envious. And some translations say envious instead of jealous. We become so envious, and we start wanting other people's talents. And here's the thing, guys: if you're being envious and jealous, that means there's strife building up in your heart. And when where strife is, you can't have peace. And peace is ultimately wisdom. That's what we're going to get to in just a minute. But the other part of that is selfish ambition. I know some of you are saying, Scott, isn't ambition a good thing? Isn't having self-ambition a good thing? It can be a good thing, but selfish ambition is what is driving teenagers down the drain. That's what's driving y'all down the drain, because it's all about you. It's all about who can make me happy when I want it. It's all about, hey, when I get out there tomorrow night on the football field, guys, when I get on the football field, I'm going to show everybody my talents, and I'll work my butt off to get there. It was all me. I did everything. I woke up early and ran, lifted weights. So when I run that 40-yard touchdown run, or I make that tackle to win the game, or yada, 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 you know, everybody's going to say, oh, that's Stewart. Oh, that's Wyatt right there. That's Chris. Yeah, I'm going to get the glory for that. We get caught up in because your idols are celebrities. That's the problem. Y'all idolize people that want to hold out for $20 million isn't enough. They want $30 million. It's all about them. It's all about selfish pride. And selfish ambition can be a bad thing, guys, because it's not all about us. We got to realize that the first step toward wisdom is being humble, being meek, saying, you know what? God's blessed me with this talent. It's awesome. But it's because of him I have this, because just as easy as he's blessed me with this talent, he could take it away. All it would take was one tackle. Broken neck, paralyzed from the neck now. That's all it would take. You didn't give yourself any talent. All of it belongs to God. So the first step to wisdom, guys, is breaking down those walls of thinking you know everything. Breaking down those walls of thinking that you're wise. Breaking down those walls of arrogance and pride and saying, okay, I'm humble right now. I'm coming at you humble. I realize it's not about me. It's not nothing I do, but it's all what you do. Let's look at verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. Peace. If you got jealousy and selfish pride, you have strife. And when you have strife and selfish pride and jealousy, you can't have peace. So if those things are standing in between you and God right now, if those are the things that you think that you know it all, you think you got all that, you got it figured out, you got life figured out, humble yourself and realize that I don't. Because you can't, and until you get rid of that selfishness and that jealousy, you can't have meekness. And until you get meekness, you can't have gentleness, which it mentions. You can't produce good fruit. You can't show mercy. You can't be impartial. You can't be sincere. And you can't harvest a crop of peace if you're not with peace. So you want to know where this path to wisdom starts? It starts with y'all being humble. With you saying, it's not about me. My talents aren't mine. They're all God's. And giving him the credit that he deserves for that. In chapter 1, we found out that James told us to, if any of us lack wisdom, to ask God for it. And that's what some of you need to do. Some of you need to say, God, I'm an arrogant son of a gun. Give me some humility. Give me some meekness. Give me some wisdom. Because ultimately, you've got to realize that this life is short. It's little bitty. And what you do on Friday nights under the lights, what you do in the classroom, what you do at school, like outside at break and different things like that, what you do when you're out at the party, what you do when you're in this room, what you do wherever you're at in your life, whatever you're doing, you got to realize that God's the reason you're doing any of it. And he can just as easily end your life just as quick as it started. Humility. Be humble. Because I know what being a teenager is like, and I know how being a teenager means got a big ego. I had the biggest one. Well, you can ask Heidi later. I had the biggest ego you ever met. You look at me wrong, I want to headbutt you in the face just because I thought I could. Just the truth. So arrogant, so proud that I thought that I could just drink as much alcohol as I wanted to and it wouldn't affect me. Hadn't in the past until I'm on the ambulance, until I'm on the way to the hospital and my stomach pumped. It'll humble you. When you're about to die, it'll humble you and you'll realize it's not about me. I'm not in control. The sovereign God of the universe, the one that created the waters to wash upon the shore, the one that created the grass to grow, for the cows to eat, for the cows to die off and us to be fed. That God that created order to this entire world has created order within his kingdom. He's given you each gifts. He's given you each talents. Don't abuse them. Don't be proud. But be humble, seeking God's face.
Information on Breakthrough Ministries, follow us on Twitter at BreakthroughMI or visit our blog at www.breakthroughministry.wordpress.com.